Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26, Fundamental Principles of Material Nature. Text 31. Let's see how this goes. All right. Tejasa Nindriyani Eva Kriya Jnana Vibhagasha Pranasya He Kriya Shaktir Budhir Vijnana Shaktita Taijasan Indriyanyeva Kriya Jnana Vibhagasha Pranasyahi Kriya Shaktir Budhir Vijnana Shaktita Taijasan Indriyanyeva Kriya Jnana Vibhagasha Pranasyahi Kriya Shaktir Budhir Vijnana Shaktita Taijasan Indriyanyeva Kriya Jnana Vibhagasha Pranasyahi Kriya Shaktir Budhir Vijnana Shaktita. Taijasani. Produced from egoism in the mode of passion. Indriyani, the senses, eva, certainly, kriya, action, jnana, knowledge, vibhagasha, according to, pranasya, of the vital energy, He, indeed, Kriya Shakti, the senses of action, Budhe, of the intelligence, Vijnana Shaktita, the senses for acquiring knowledge. Translation. Egoism in the mode of passion produces two kinds of senses, the senses for acquiring knowledge and the senses of action. The senses of action depend on the vital energy, and the senses for acquiring knowledge depend on intelligence. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It has been explained in the previous verses that mind is the product of ego and goodness, and that the function of the mind is acceptance and rejection according to desire. But here, intelligence is said to be the product of ego in passion. That is the distinction between mind and intelligence. Mind is a product of egoism and goodness, and intelligence is a product of egoism in passion. The desire to accept something and reject something is a very important factor of the mind. Since mind is a product of the mode of goodness, if it is fixed upon the Lord of the mind, Aniruddha, then the mind can be changed to Krishna consciousness. It is stated by Narottam Das Thakur that we always have desires. Desire cannot be stopped. But if we transfer our desires to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is the perfection of life. As soon as the desire is transferred to lording it over material nature, it becomes contaminated by matter. Desire has to be purified. In the beginning, this purification process has to be carried out by the order of the spiritual master, since the spiritual master knows how the disciple's desires can be transformed into Krishna consciousness. As far as intelligence is concerned, it is clearly stated here that it is a product of egoism in passion. By practice, one comes to the point of the mode of goodness, and by surrendering or fixing the mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes a very great personality or Mahatma. In Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated, Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. Such a great soul is very rare. In this verse, it is clear that both kinds of senses, the senses for acquiring knowledge and the senses for action, are products of egoism in the mode of passion. And because the sense organs for activity and for acquiring knowledge require energy, the vital energy or life energy is also produced by egoism in the mode of passion. We can actually see, therefore, that those who are very passionate can improve in material acquisition very quickly. It is recommended in the Vedic scriptures that if one wants to encourage a person in acquiring material possessions, one should also encourage him in sex life. We naturally find that those who are addicted to sex life are also materially advanced, because sex life or passionate life is the impetus for the material advancement of civilization. For those who want to make spiritual advancement, there is almost no existence of the mode of passion. Only the mode of goodness is prominent. We find that those who engage in Krishna consciousness are materially poor. But one who has eyes can see who is the greater. Although he appears to be materially poor, a person in Krishna consciousness is not actually a poor man. But the person who has no taste for Krishna consciousness and appears to be very happy with material possessions is actually poor. Persons infatuated by material consciousness are very intelligent in discovering things for material comforts, but they have no access to understanding the spirit soul and spiritual life. Therefore, if anyone wants to advance in spiritual life, he has to come back to the platform of purified desire, the purified desire for devotional service. As stated in the Narada Pancharatra, engagement in the service of the Lord, when the senses are purified in Krishna consciousness, is called pure devotion. Taijasa nindriyanyeva kriya jnana vibhagasha pranasyahi kriya shaktiya buddhya vijnana shaktita. Egoism in the mode of passion produces two kinds of senses: the senses for acquiring knowledge and the senses of action. The senses of action depend on the vital energy, and the senses for acquiring knowledge depend on intelligence. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Niravishesha Shunyavadi Pasyachade Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha. Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. The evolution or development or manifestation, process of manifestations of the material creation is continuing to be described here by Lord Kapila Dev. It is interesting. Sometimes it's a little complicated, but it's definitely interesting. So we heard, the first thing we heard in this section, really, which is about the evolution of the false ego. Yeah. The material ego. How the material ego springs up from the Mahatattva. And it exists in goodness, passion, and ignorance. And then from that, various things manifest. It's all coming from the Mahatattva. As we've already mentioned on a few occasions, the Mahatattva is like a reservoir of the specific features and things in the material creation, like the three modes, like the senses, like the different types of senses. So, from the Mahatattva manifests the false ego, and then as that process of manifestation of the Mahatattva, which is sort of unstoppable, really. It's been set into action, and it's just going on, and different things are happening. So then, from the false ego in goodness, the mind manifests, and we talked about that a few days ago, and it may be a little difficult to really comprehend. How could it be that the mind comes from goodness? Well, it doesn't exactly come from goodness. It comes from false ego in goodness. False ego in goodness. And then also, it can be a little difficult, possibly, to understand how the intelligence could come from the mode of passion. Because intelligence, of course, generally speaking, intelligence is higher than the mind. The mind is, you know, kind of even reckless, you could say. Whatever the stimulation is, the mind goes there. And therefore it's said that insanity, at least certain types of insanity, what does insanity mean? What is it? Insanity means that the intelligence has lost control of the mind, and therefore the mind is simply going just in whatever direction the sensory stimulations are coming from, without any capacity at all to discriminate. It's just whatever attracts the most strongly in terms of sensual experience, the mind goes there. Whereas intelligence orders the mind. Orders the mind means keeps it in order, or order in that sense, to act in orderly fashions. And of course, in material life, we were talking last night, was it, or the night before, in Bhagavad Gita class, about how Srila Prabhupada gave a class, or maybe he wrote an essay, but I think it was a class, which was published in Back to Godhead many years ago. I remember seeing it. It was very interesting. And it was called, Who is Crazy? Who is Crazy? Because some people say Hare Krishnas are crazy. Hare Krishnas say, you are crazy. They are crazy. But in material life, one prominent feature of material life is that so many people struggle to control their minds. I read somewhere in some sort of publication, like Time Magazine or something, when I first came here more than 35 years ago, that every American at some point in their life will feel forced to go to a psychologist for help, because at least one time, and of course in many cases it's more than one time, and in some cases it's a lot more, but at least at one time in a person's life, they will lose control of their mind so badly that they'll feel, I must have help. If I don't have help, we could have a real disaster. Yes. So this is just illustrating the point that generally in material life, it is not that people are just in control of their minds and their minds are doing what they want. There is an ongoing, sometimes battle to control the mind. And sometimes it's just, you know, the mind is sort of annoying, in that it just goes off and it becomes difficult to focus the mind as you want. Although sometimes some people can focus their minds. But then they lose control to some degree from time to time. That means that in material life, Sri Sri Radha Radhanath Sri Giri Govardhan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Sri Sri Yashoda Damodara Kijai. So that means that so many people, if not all, are kind of balanced on the edge of some type of insanity. At least one could say, not complete sanity. Because the mind is strong. Well, first of all, the senses are strong. And the senses are connected to the mind. And the mind is weak. Generally speaking, the mind is weak. And it just goes wherever the different senses dictate. And ultimately, to that sense which is dictating the most strongly, the mind goes there. And it's difficult to bring it back. You know, we might, well, I've personally had experience before I became a devotee, before I joined Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON at least, I was trying to do transcendental meditation. But I was a young person. I was 19, 20, really a young person. And I was trying to do this, but I was associated with other young people who were just into the youth culture of the day. So staying with these people, they would play loud music and all this sort of, there'd be a lot of noise and shouting and things happening, and a lot of loud music. And I would be trying to do my transcendental meditation in my room. But it was very difficult to do it because the loud music, I would sometimes try to stop my mind from going there. But it was difficult because the senses are strong and the mind, it just has that propensity, just go there, wherever the sensory experience is the strongest. And the mind, like in that case, not that it was a particularly good form of meditation, but I was trying to do it to try to improve myself, actually. But the intelligence was, whenever that would happen, whenever the loud music would start, I couldn't do it. It's just an example, and this is very common. People get distracted because even to things, even when they know they're meant to be focusing on something else, or it would be better, sometimes, and not just sometimes, but often, people get distracted. Because the mind is very strong in material life and the intelligence is not very strong in material life. Yes. So anyway, here, Srila Prabhupada does explain the basic idea, how it could be said on the material level that the mind is in goodness, or not in goodness, but it's coming from false ego in goodness, and the intelligence is coming from false ego in passion, and it's connected, the connections are like that. So Prabhupada explains that, and was it the previous verse that it was mentioned? No, it wasn't, but just a little, in verse 28, it's pointed out, Kapila Dev points out, that like you could say, the deity, the lord of the mind, is Aniruddha. The lord of the mind is Aniruddha, who's very beautiful. And therefore, Prabhupada, at least in the purport there, and in the verse itself, 28, Srila Prabhupada's making the point that we should focus our minds, or at least people who want to do meditation should focus their minds on Aniruddha, and then they'll become able to focus their minds. And the acceptance, rejection, attraction, repulsion, these functions of the mind will be overcome. And then the mind will come to goodness. When the mind is focused on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the mind can be nicely situated in goodness and even in pure goodness, transcendental goodness. As Prabhupada says here, as soon as desire from pure consciousness, as soon as the desire aspect of pure consciousness is transferred to material life, lording it over material nature, it becomes contaminated. So desire has to be purified. And this, the process of purifying desire, purifying the mind, it has to be carried out, Prabhupada's saying here, by following the orders of the spiritual master. Because the spiritual master is at least a bona fide spiritual master, is not just subject to the dictations of the mind. The spiritual master, Prabhupada says, bona fide spiritual master, knows how the disciple's desires can be transformed into Krishna consciousness. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he's so expert at that. If we study Prabhupada's writings and his classes and so on, we'll see how many times Prabhupada says, we must chant Hare Krishna. You know, whatever happens, you must chant Hare Krishna. You must chant Hare Krishna. You just must chant Hare Krishna. So this is it, that the spiritual master knows how the disciple's desires can be transformed into Krishna consciousness, and an extremely foundational part of it is just chant Hare Krishna. Whereas in other Krishna conscious or Vaishnav groups of devotees, people who are devotees, but that they don't know so clearly. They haven't got that idea so clearly. And therefore, the spiritual masters even there don't instruct like that. They give other instructions. You know, we've been in some of these places and they're Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But they don't really, there's no real emphasis on chanting japa. Chant four rounds and then get into service. But the process, it could be worse, of course, but actually the process is to chant Hare Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, countless times, not that it was the only instruction he gave, but it was the most foundational instruction he gave. Chant Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, again and again and again and again, and just again and again. So this is sort of a sample example of how Srila Prabhupada understood that our desires or our minds, our minds can become focused in Krishna consciousness. And then when that happens, then we come to the stage of goodness and even pure goodness, shuddha-sattva. But then Prabhupada gives an explanation how it can be, even though at first thought, one might think it's a little strange, mind, goodness, intelligence, passion. Well, Prabhupada explains quite clearly that in material life, we're talking about false ego. We're talking about ego, the person in material existence. So in material existence, material enjoyment is the thing, and intelligence in material life means how to organize, make arrangements very cleverly, very intelligently for enjoying sense gratification. That's the general use of intelligence in material life. Prabhupada makes the point that we can actually see, that those who are very passionate can improve in material acquisition very quickly. You know, sometimes people question, why is America, or why was America, or why is America so successful materially? Because, and why particularly India, which has this whole history of extreme piety, far beyond America, is so materially, I mean, at least at that time, going back maybe, I don't know, 40 years or something, why is India, which is so pious and Vedic and religious, so materially unsuccessful? It's a good question. And the answer is, in terms of what Prabhupada is saying here, because the Americans are so passionate. Therefore, they've got so much intelligence, or had so much intelligence. If you ask me now, sure, it's not. At least, you know, like the British were ruling the world, then they went down. America's on the way down, already come down somewhat. But certainly going back after the Second World War into the 50s and 60s and 70s, America was relatively so materially successful compared to anywhere else, compared to England. Yeah. And as Prabhupada says here, we can actually see, therefore, that those who are very passionate can improve in material acquisition very quickly. Yeah, so like that, we can see how the mode of, or how intelligence can be connected with the mode of passion in this sense of material advancement, advancement in sense gratification. And therefore Prabhupada continues, I'm sure you noticed that it is recommended in the Vedic scriptures that if one wants to encourage a person in acquiring material possessions, one should also encourage him in sex life. We naturally find that those who are addicted to sex life are also materially advanced, because sex life or passionate life is the impetus for material advancement of civilization. And therefore, because the devotees are really not interested in material advancement. Because the devotees are really not interested in material advancement at all. Therefore, Prabhupada says here, for those who want to make spiritual advancement, there's almost no existence of the mode of passion. Only the mode of goodness is prominent. Yeah. These are very interesting points. Very interesting points. So this is how it can be said that the mode of passion, because it's not just the mode of passion, it's false ego in the mode of passion, gives rise to intelligence, or is connected with intelligence. So, therefore, Prabhupada makes the point towards the end of the purport that devotees, spiritually minded people, in so many cases, they are poor. Because they're not interested in sense gratification and using the intelligence to figure out how to accumulate material things. They just want to focus on Krishna. So some people think that therefore the devotees who, as a result of not being very interested materially, are oftentimes poor, that actually their position is bad. Poor in a different sense. Poor in the sense of just being like a kind of useless person. But Prabhupada says, one who has eyes, real eyes, can see that the devotees are greater. Although they appear materially poor, a Krishna-conscious person is not actually poor. The Krishna-conscious person is enriched with that which is of real value, which is the relationship with Krishna and his service. And this way they're in a much better position. So, therefore, the intelligence should be used to make a program so the mind can become strengthened to focus on Krishna even when distractions are there, what to speak of when they are not distractions. And in this way the mind becomes pacified and it comes to goodness. And then the intelligence should be used for developing our lives in Krishna consciousness in different enterprising spiritual ways. And as stated in Narada Pancharatra, engagement in the service of the Lord when the senses are purified in Krishna consciousness is called pure devotion. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Why are we here and not down there for the class?
Because only from Friday to Sunday do the congregation come from 8:30 or earlier. So Monday to Thursday we're here. Friday to Sunday we're down there in the morning.
So Monday to Thursday. Oh, I see. Because I would like to use the big camera, but, you know, anyway.
No, but this morning what happened was everything just got chaotic. So people had to run to deal with people. So I had to end up doing all of that. Otherwise, the camera would have been
there. Yeah, it was.